Down to us through the centuries from the dawn of time before the digital age. Listen at freedomizerradio.com or at augustbooks.com. Call in with your thoughts and comments at 319-527-6208. Press 1 to join Ed live on air. And now, here is our host, Ed August.
Hello, thanks for tuning in today. Here we are in Maricopa County in the Valley of the Sun in the city of Chandler. Most of you may not have even heard of Chandler or Mesa or Scottsdale. Well, I don't know. But those are all towns with 200,000 to 400,000 people. Actually, I think Mesa has about 500,000 now. Why do people come here? It's usually in the winter. It's usually to escape those, you know, those howling storms bringing wind and snow. You know, they come down here once and then they stay until at least the next June, and the next July. And then if they're smart, they will leave. They will find some way to get out of here at least for a few months, you know, because it gets roaring hot. Now, it's kind of settled down now to about 108 to 110 degrees every day. In the 10-day forecast, that's what we have to look forward to. It's 108 to 110 temperature every day. But at least things aren't melting, you know. At least things aren't melting around us. So, yeah, it's a tough place for nature. You know, if you're a horticulturist and love flowers and trees and bushes and stuff, don't come down into the Phoenix area thinking that you're going to have some kind of wild garden growing here or something like that, unless it's indoors in the daytime, because plants just melt away in this sunlight. And I think people do too, to some extent. I sometimes envy people who are, you know, able to go to Lake Tahoe right now, or, you know, Lake Superior. Yeah, right along Lake Superior. I don't care what side of it you're on. So anyway, you know, I think last episode on Tuesday on Ed August World, we delved a little bit into astrology to the extent that I talked about an ex of mine who had some planets that lined up with mine in a bad way when it came to, you know, going on vacations and stuff. Anyway, we were always having difficult times. We almost got killed a couple of times, you know, and it was just, you know, I think the smartest thing would have been to stay home under the bed or in the bed or somewhere, you know, rather than to travel around. And the thing that seemed to be doing this to us was a very close square between her Mars and my planet Uranus. And I don't have the sinus tree on that right in front of me, but I do have, if you happen to have this in your chart, in other words, if you were born with Mars either 90 degrees or 180 degrees away from the planet Uranus, and of course there's a give or take of about 7 or 8 degrees there, you know, it's it's an accident-forming planetary combination. Incidentally, have a look at my book, Planetary Combinations in Astrology Charts. Planetary Combinations in Astrology Charts. It's $6.95. It's on Amazon and the Kindle portion of Amazon because it's an ebook. So just go to Amazon. Well, geez, I don't. You know what? I'm not even sure, but there is information on this on my website at augustbooks.com. Look for pages that have my books on. Look for the ebooks. That's the thing we're looking for, is looking for ebooks. So when I look up Mars square or opposite Uranus in a natal chart, it says, if Mars is square opposite planet Uranus, the person is overly independent, individualistic, and unconstrained. he or she is a nonconformist and resents any kind of society-imposed morals or standards. He or she does not take to authority figures or the powers that be. There is an abundance of physical energy, and the person may be nervous, irritable, high-strung. Many individuals with hard Mars-Uranus aspects are too easily excitable and therefore accent-prone. Yeah, you can say that again. That's where that thing comes in. People get too excitable, and then the wheels start going around their mind or something, and they get distracted or whatever, and then an accent happens. It's one kind of energy, Mars, clashing against another kind of energy symbolized by planet Uranus. The person needs an outlet for his vivacious nature and frenetic energy and should practice one of the martial arts. Well, I got as far as Tai Chi Chuan, which we did sometimes on lunches at a certain job that I have. Or he should engage in any active sport of his choice on a regular basis. Well, this particular lady and I, as we lived together, no, we didn't really do any kind of sports. We didn't jog. We didn't swim. The sport of, you know, having a friend, of having a lover. The person is unpredictable. He is impatient, too hurried, and often unreliable. He craves stimulation and excitement, and always wants to be busy. His life may be cluttered with many unfinished projects and incomplete affairs. There's a great need for patience, consistency, and composure. The person is extremely courageous. He fears nothing except perhaps the loss of his independence. And, you know, that really kind of typifies a lot of things that happened between me and her over the years that I knew her. Don't really think I can go into all the details on it. But now, by the way, this text that I was reading to you, it's from a book called How to Be a Great Astrologer, The Planetary Aspects Explained. It's by James Braha, B-R-A-H-A, and that is a good author. He studied in India, so he's expert at both Indian, that is to say Vedic or Hindu astrology, as well as Western astrology. And in some of his other books, he puts this together, you know. But I like to look at this book because, really, I mean, if you find the person's major planetary combination, this can be yourself, your lover, your friend, your employer, anyone in your family or friends, or anyone in public life that you hear about on TV. If you can look at their chart and you can see what their major aspects are in their chart. And then you look them up, and you know what? It'll always be something that just shows right through that person. If you know that person at all, if you've just seen that person on TV for 5 minutes, that will definitely be an obvious correlation there between the person that you see them as and the person that's revealed in their astrology chart. Well, I've been going over this Mars conjunction, Mars square Uranus, but that's one of dozens and dozens of aspects. And again, if you wanted to find out a little bit more about planetary aspects in the lives of the rich and famous, infamous, notable people through history, then please have a look at my planetary combinations in astrology charts. It's $6.95, but it's about it's between 420 and 460 pages, depending on how you put it on the screen to look at it. You know, with a Kindle reader or anything like it, you can adjust. You can read it vertically, you can read it horizontally. The pages are slightly smaller or slightly larger. So it's somewhere between 420 and 460 pages. So that's a lot of astrology for the money. And if you happen to read that book, if you get that book and you read it, if you have any comments on it, I would love to hear from you at my email, ed@edaugusts.com, or you can, you know, go to my what phone number wait a second, you know what, there's an actual call in here. Let me see where it is here. I know I've got it here someplace. Here it is.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
However, that number's only good while the show is actually running live. Afterwards, you should go to my site and look for it. Now you can click on it. You can listen to it anytime, 24/7 around the clock. There's an archive there of past episodes also. That's at edaugustsbooks.com, www.edaugustsbooks.com. Is there an apostrophe in there? No. Okay. I think in one place we have an apostrophe, Augusts, but not in the actual address, the actual URL. So, call in. But, let's see. I got a little bit spun out of where I was going with my thoughts there. There was something I was going to say. That got distracted with the phone number. I didn't mean necessarily that, we just want you to call the show. And obviously, if you're on, you're listening to the show already anyway. But what you could, what I was suggesting you do is please, comment, question. That's where I'm asking for people to, where I'm asking for people to try to contact me. Feel free to comment and ask a question. And what I was going to do today was talk a little bit about some of my books. But, it's a 90-minute show, so we're going to find that there are, opportunities to change subjects, to go from one subject to another over a period of time. And I have a couple books that I'd like to explain. One is if you go to my website, there'll be a book about gambling and about astrology and gambling or gaming or something. I don't have it in front of me, and I can't. I don't know if I can find it. Let me see if my friend can look it up, or maybe I can look it up. We just had the TV pop off by itself. That's insane. Okay, let me see here. Rechart Astro News. Let me go to my site. If I can't give you the right title of my stuff. Oh, I got the wrong website. You might get there before I do. No, I really can't find it on here with these tabs. Look for my on the two pages that I have of books that are on Lulu.com. Tell me which is the title that has something to do with gambling, gaming, something like that. It might be on page 2. It's a picture of me with a whole bunch of $100 bills, like 100 $100 bills or something, kind of fanned out in my arms, in my hands, with a big grin on my face. She says she's getting there. Yeah, I wanted to go over some of my oddball books today, because I think sometimes people go to my book pages, and they see some of these and they think, well, that's kind of weird. I don't know what I think about that. But that's astrological factors in gambling. It's astrological factors in gambling. It's the results of visits to 110. Oh, of 110 visits to Las Vegas area casinos. And yes, I did that. I did that in 2000, a little bit 2001, maybe the tail end of 1999. And I thought, hey, I'd better start, paying attention to, what's going on in the heavens. Well, I don't want to give you all my secrets. If you want to get the secrets, then you got to get my book. And it's available both paperback and in hardcover, actually, I believe, yes. And this is not on Amazon. It's at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, /Ed Augusts. And that'll probably take you to my showcase or whatever they call it and have a look for it. Oh, wait a minute. It's right there on my site. It's right there at edaugustsbooks.com. Just look for it. It's one of the interior pages there. There's two pages of my Lulu books by Ed. One of the Lulu pages. But it was very interesting. I had moved into the Las Vegas area, a little town called Henderson, and my mother was living there, and I lived there for about 5 years until she passed away. And throughout her final illness, which actually had her bedridden for 4.5 years, so for 4.5 years, she was stuck in bed, and I was, you know, taking care of her. Of course, I needed some diversion. I needed to get up, and you know, and so I would drive down the street, or down the hill, or or down to the Strip, which is about 9 miles away, and I would indulge, and I would experiment, and I would try to use my astrological skills. I tried to use some numerology, but the numerology didn't seem to really produce any kind of good results. Maybe I was just applying it wrong, or I wasn't reducing things to the right number, to enough numbers, you know, I'm not sure. I just never know whether I'm on the right track with numerology or not. Even though I'm supposed to be a double 11, whatever that means, you know, we're supposed to be lucky and stuff. So anyway, what I quickly found is that, and verified, is that there are times of the day, casino, any particular casino, is going to be lucky for the player, and other times when it's going to be very unlucky for the player. And do you mind if I just give you a way that you can tell? Okay, here's how you can tell. If you walk into the main part of a casino, not just where there's the slot machines, but also all the table games and stuff, by which I mean roulette and craps and other things like that, you will notice that there's a tone, there's a vibration, there's an energy in the air. It's an energy of frenetic excitement and glory and, you know, celebration, which is when you can hear people, they throw the dice and everybody like yells or applauds or something, you know. And then in the distance you hear a jackpot on one of the slot machines, or, you know, just generally people just kind of just being all excited. And, you know, the dice tables, the craps tables will be full. People have a hard time edging in. You can't even get your money down on the table when the dice are hot. Well, when are the dice hot? And why are the dice hot? And what's going on there? Why those long faces on the pit boss and casino manager, you know, and whatever? Well, it's because, you know, the worm has turned, as they say. Although that was, I think that was originally applied to a dragon or something, wasn't it? The worm was a dragon in the old days. The worm has turned. What I mean is that the people are making money. They can make money if it's a good day for them. Now, if a person has very unlucky aspects or very unlucky natal chart, and they walk into the casino when everybody else is winning, I don't think they can take advantage of it. I think that they will miss making the bets. They'll go to the wrong table. They'll sit down in front of the wrong slot machine. So, you know, those people that have this unfortunate kind of loser aspect to them are going to have a really hard time making money, no matter what. But if they want to so badly, then I guess, other than staying away, the best thing would be to be in the casino when it's hot, when the dice are hot, when you know, people are getting 20 and 21 at the blackjack table and stuff. It's very exciting actually to be in that kind of atmosphere. So what is happening during those times is, well, let's say Jupiter is a planet of fortune. It is the biggest and best planet of good fortune. Well, let's say the moon once a month is sweeping around the zodiac, and there's Jupiter sitting there in 15 degrees of Cancer, and the moon enters the sign of Cancer. Okay, that's okay. Gets to about, you know, 7, 8, 9 degrees of Cancer. Well, and then it almost like catches fire. It's a very subtle energy, but then as it gets closer and closer to being in a conjunction, that is to say, in the same longitude, you know, as Jupiter, when we view it from Earth, then the combination of two planets actually creates a visible effect in the world. And for example, if you're in a casino, you'll notice that people just you know, they'll be having some jackpots. I was in a casino, and I stopped briefly at a game, a slot machine, and like two games over, two slot machines over from me, all kinds of bells and whistles, went off, and blah, 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 blah. You know, I think the guy had gotten like 5 cherries in a row or something like that, you know. And they came over, and he had just won $162,000, you know, which is darn. I wish I had been sitting at that slot machine. But that it's hard to make money at slots. I really think that even using this technique, maybe it would not be so impossible, and you would have good days. So let's say that you are there, and you walk into the casino when the moon is just 1 degree away from being in a conjunction with Jupiter. 1 degree. Now, the moon goes about 11 or 12 degrees in one day, so it'll go about 1 degree every 2 hours. Well, you know what? In that case, you've got about an hour and 45 minutes, an hour and 50 minutes, an hour and 55 minutes to play, and you could have better than normal luck. Of course, this also depends on your chart. And do you throw away money or do you make money? You know, if you have a very dangerous chart, if you have an out-of-control Mars and Jupiter in your chart, you know, and tend to be wasteful and self-indulgent, then it's possible that this will not be a good idea for you. But for a lot of other people, it might be. So for those 2 hours, you know, get yourself to where you can put some money on the table, as much as you can, you know, afford to lose, because there's always a chance, you know, of losing, and see if you can't parlay it and continue pressing and parlaying it. That same year I won a craps tournament, a little craps tournament at a place called the Fiesta Henderson, and it was $1,000, but I won against about 12 other players. And what I did is I just kept pressing my bets, figuring that I was too lucky at that moment to 7 out. You know, this is at a craps table. So after you make a point in the craps table, be it 8 or 9 or 5 or 4 or 10, whatever, 6 or 8 are always good. After that point, whenever the shooter, the person with the dice, throws a 7, then all the bets lose, except if you're betting on the 7. 7 is actually the most common combination of the dice. So you can make 7 more ways than you can make any of the other numbers. I mean, like, take 4. You can only make 4 with a 1 and a 3, or a 2 and a 2, or a 3 and a 1 or something. So there's very limited ways you can make a 4 or a 10 at the other end. Although a 7, well, you can make that with a 1 and a 6, a 2 and a 5, a 3 and a 4, a 4 and a 3, a 5 and a 2, a 6 and 1, you know. So it's like twice as frequent as one of the end numbers, like the 4 or the 10. So anyway, so, you know, I just kept winning with 6s and 8s, 6s and 8s, and I pressed my bets, pressed the 6, pressed the 8, pressed the outside numbers, whatever. So I had all these numbers. So I simply, and then at a certain point, when was it? I just had this kind of inkling, this kind of psychic flash. Okay, take him down. So I said, okay, take down my bets, right? So there was like, this was play money. We were playing with play money. We weren't playing with real money for the tournament, okay? So they took like $2,000 or something off the table. And the very next number that the shooter threw was a 7. So everybody lost. Groans, groans, groans. But I was the only player at that table that had parlayed and pressed my bets. Everybody else was very cautious, you know. They made a number, they take the money. They made the number, they took the money. But I kept, you could say, reinvesting. So that was a $1,000 prize. That was in real money. I got $1,000 for that. That's the only tournament like that that I've ever won. I did get a high gross once at in a golf tournament. I had the worst score, and they gave me a trophy for it because I don't know, you know, golf from a hole in the ground. Well, actually, it is a hole in the ground, isn't it? A little ball goes. keep thinking of these funny little things. So this that I have on the market involves instances of going to casinos under different combinations of the moon and planets. It'll say what degree and minute the moon was in during a certain time. And if there was a conjunction in the heavens, or, you know, something negative and was happening, either negative or positive, and then you'll see what the results were, because I also include how much money I won or lost. So, oh, I'm sorry. Does that, okay, what happened? Did we lose something here? My screen, no, my screen went black for a second. Okay, we're still here. We're still here. Oh, by the way, I didn't finish with my example of being in the casino during a time when the moon is coming up to a conjunction with Jupiter. And by the way, this probably would also work with Venus. And it might even work with the sun, which would be actually, it would be the new moon, but only if it was in favorable combinations of the planets. It gets a little complicated there. For now, let's just look at moon and Jupiter. So there you are. It's about 2 hours, and you've been on a roll. You are holding the dice, and you have like $5,000 in front of you. And then, you know, your stopwatch goes off, or your girlfriend tugs at your sleeve, and she says, "It's that time." And then you got a big decision to do. You could either keep playing because you're feeling so excited from the adventure of making money, taking money from the casino, winning against the other players. It's a very exciting feeling. So then you can either keep going or you can stop and pull your bets and stuff. Well, doggone it, you know, I have many times I have kept playing, and then within like about 5 or 10 minutes, I have lost everything that I won because it works like a charm. Now, what is that? Where did that come from? It works like a charm. I didn't know. Do charms work? I guess they do. Amulets and charms. But anyway, it works like a charm because once that time comes, when the moon is in the exact aspect with Jupiter, then, you know, it goes past it. Okay, get this. It led up to the exact aspect, and that was a high point. Then it's now immediately starting to trail away from it. But Jupiter will be in 15 degrees of Cancer, and now the moon is in 15 degrees and 10 minutes of Cancer or something. You see, and the energy is shifting. The energy is pulling away. As a matter of fact, once the moon leaves behind that good aspect of that good planet, then the energy reverses. It's just like flipping a switch. And pretty soon, you'll hear different sounds, you know, in the casino. With, oh, you know, like disappointment and stuff. And the crowds will slowly thin. And you won't hear as many jackpots. And actually, that's the same thing that happens if you happen to walk into a casino during the approach of a bad aspect, or the, as they would say, the application of the moon to, like, let's say Saturn. Let's say the moon is coming up on Saturn. Saturn is a little bit like grandpa, you know. He has rules and regulations, and, you know, that means the casino has the priority when Saturn is at a peak in some way. So the moon comes up on Saturn. You walk into that same casino, and my goodness, why isn't anybody even playing the mega bucks machine with the $1 million payoff, you know? Why is there only 3 people at the crap table? This is in a small casino where they might only have 1 crap table. Why such long faces on the people at the roulette table, you know? Why did someone throw their cards down and walk away from the 21 table, you know? Why is there grins on the face of the pit boss? So anyway, you see, it's the exact opposite polarity. So the casino is one place where you can test the merits of astrology by simply hanging around. You know, you may be able to do this without making a single bet and just watch what happens in the atmosphere, in the vibrations. And why would that happen? Why would that be, you know, casting a pall over 500 people? Why would there suddenly be the sound of sucking machines as the casino rakes in the dough? All the bets go to the casino and people walk away, you know, with their pockets hanging out of their pants, so to speak, you know. Yep, that's one of the major lessons of gaming or of gambling, is the planetary positions. But let me tell you, it also depends on your chart. Let's say you and a friend are going to go to Reno or Las Vegas or Atlantic City, well, you know, or whatever. There's a place in Connecticut also, but, or one of these little Indian casinos. But anyway, yeah, let's say you're going to go to a place in Reno, drive over the mountains to the casinos, then and you're going with a friend. Maybe you want to go. Maybe the friend wants to go. Well, you should look at your chart for that weekend or that week that you're going up there. You should also look at your friend's chart because, you know what, your friend may be the lucky one. Your friend wanting to go up there or agreeing to go up there to be with you, he or she may be the person that's going to catch fire. You know, it's going to get struck by lightning of Lady Luck. Lady Luck, you know, likes to hunt around for some people. Sometimes it's novices, people that have never even been there, end up being hugely lucky. They don't even know how lucky they are, and they make thousands and thousands of dollars. So, but anyway, but you'll only know that by taking that person's chart, and you look up and see what's going on. Okay, so if the sun today is in Cancer and it's approaching that person's Mars, well, okay, they're going to be very energetic. If it's approaching their Saturn, they'd better not spend their money. Bad time to pick stocks, bad time to gamble. Going towards Uranus, planet Uranus on their natal chart, well, that could bring about some big turnabouts and some surprises. They might get ahead, but then they better hold the money because they might lose it. Sun coming up to Neptune, that could mean there's a lot of intuition and psychic energy in the air, and the person should let themselves pick where they are and play when they feel like it, because maybe they're very intuitive at that time. On the other hand, Sun or another planet coming up to Neptune in the heavens could mean that that's a time not to get high, not to have two or three drinks, and that's one of the things in these casinos that makes them so, that makes the casino so lucky, is they have these long-legged, you know, hostesses, waitresses, whatever you want, who are asking people, you know, if they want a drink. And yeah, you can get a freaking $5 drink, you know. You can get a $5 drink, and when they bring it to you, just give a dollar tip to the waitress, and it's yours, you know. They're, unless things have changed in the last few years, because I haven't been to a casino in the last few years, but unless things have changed, they're very generous on things like drinks, you know, when you're there, because they want to get you a little plastered, so it'd be a little bit easier going with the money. But that also means that if that's happening in your chart, that you have that you could be experiencing a tendency that weekend to go, you know, to not be quite in your right mind, to kind of get swerved off the path, you know, the same way that a person natally with Sun conjunction is said to hear a celestial music that only they can hear, and drawn towards idealistic and, you know, improbable things, and to beauty and stuff. Well, in the casino, that would probably convert to being unrealistic, to doubling and doubling down, and you know, it's not a profitable long run type of thing. Hard to say what would happen if the sun is just 1 or 2 degrees away from your or your friend's Pluto. That's very intense. It could bring out, as they say, the dark side. That means that you might bump into somebody who is of a savage and uncouth nature, who wants to take you upstairs and take your money. I don't know. It doesn't have to be that way, but Pluto definitely can bring a person into a contact with some negative forces. But the negative forces sometimes are plutocrats, which have an awful lot of wealth and money to spread around. So I would have to say that's a variable aspect. That would depend on other things going on. But if the sun or the moon were about to go over a person's Venus in the heavens, then you know what? At the very least, with the sun going over a person's natal Venus, they're going to want to have fun. They're going to relax. They're going to be smiling, have a drink, have a drive. No. Don't have a drink. But anyway, and just kind of lay back and enjoy. And that could be up in the hotel room, or that can be in the buffet, or that can be in the casino. Now, me, after many years of experience in this field of endeavor, I would probably be the one in the buffet. which are not cheap. They used to be a draw because they were the most wonderful food at the lowest price in America, you know, in the casinos in Nevada. But that's turned around a little bit now. You know, you might have to pay $25 or $30 for a buffet at one of the nice big hotels. Gee, it was like 15 years ago that I was at the MGM Grand Hotel with a couple of lady friends, and they were both vegetarians. So I was having meats and crab and fish and stuff like that. And they were piling on the mangoes and the papayas and the strawberries and the bananas and stuff. And I think that they had a better time than I did because, you know, and I said, hey, come on, that dinner was $25, you know, you can each, you know, so eat more, have fun. I said, don't worry about us. This is great. This is better than we can get in the Bay Area, you know. So, yeah, I have a lot of affection for a lot of things that Nevada brought. But unfortunately, my mother suffered through that illness, and most of the time I spent at home. That was a time when I also wrote a lot of my short stories. I must have written maybe 25 or 30 short stories during those 4 years with Mom. And then once she passed, I wanted to get out of the house. The house was haunted anyway. It was a weird... Well, it's a long story. Not by my mother, but by whoever was there first. It's the second house in my lifetime that I've lived in that was haunted, where actually you can hear the taps in the walls and the footsteps in the attic. But the attic is only 3 feet high, right? There's only 3 feet between the floor of the attic and the roof of the house, and you can hear footsteps up there. You know, it really is creepy. So I didn't much want to stay much longer than there. But I miss it because it was about 3,200 square feet. It was just a huge house. We're just rattling around in that house. But I knew it was haunted on day one when I had bought the house and I was moving my first load of stuff into it from the Bay Area, going all the way to Henderson, Nevada. It's about 500 to 600 miles. So anyway, I got there and I moved my stuff in. And then I thought, oh, man, I should drive right back, but I'm going to take a nap. So I had a sleeping bag with me. So I looked around. It was broad daylight, but I wanted to sleep anyway. So I looked for the room that was at the center of the house. And there was indeed a bedroom that only had like one door, one window that looked out onto another room. But otherwise, it was not external at all. It was definitely an internal room. Closed the door, put down the sleeping bag, and lay down on the carpet, and just as I lay down and closed my eyes, I heard three loud taps from the ceiling right above me. I mean, this was freaking right above where I had laid down. I heard this, and so I spent I did go to sleep, but I went to sleep near the big picture window in the living room. It was plenty of light, but, you know, I didn't feel like I was in the middle of a labyrinth, you know, Pan's Labyrinth or whatever it's called. So anyway, that was an interesting experience, is living in a haunted house. But then once my mom passed away, then I put it up for sale, and that's how I ended up eventually moving down to the Phoenix and then the Tucson area. I remember going into the casino, one of the casinos once, and I said, well, I'm moving down to Phoenix. And the dealer looked at me and said, Phoenix? Why the hell would you want to do that? Well, it's a long story. A friend of mine had a house for rent down there. She just happened to have a house in Phoenix, and the price was right, and, you know, I didn't know. So I moved down there. I was ready to live in a totally different town after, you know, my mom's illness and stuff. So I, went to Phoenix. Where was I going with that? I don't know. It got me to where I am right now, which is on the edge of playing a commercial or two. I have to tell you, the Freedomizer Radio, Freedomizer, is an awesome place for a lot of interesting, intelligent people. And, you know, rather than be on Facebook and, you know, catch birthday notices from people you've never heard of before, because you're following, people are following you that you don't even know who they are. you know, and they're bringing up subjects you're not at all interested in, well, go to freedomizer.com, huh, and look around, and you may find somebody who's on your wavelength, like I hope that I am on your wavelength, and I'll be back with a different subject in a minute. That's funny.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Sounds like me.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea, but you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are 7 of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Hello, back again. So I would say that in my body of work of things that you can find on the web that I have written, that book about gambling, casino gambling and astrology, is probably somewhat controversial. Some people would see that and they would think, oh, I don't know about this guy here. It sounds like a gambler or something. Well, really, I mean, the principle of the thing of being able to use astrology and of also verifying the validity of astrology by using it for these kind of purposes is awesome. I think that's just awesome. And, you know, if this was common knowledge, the casinos would have to change their games or they would all have to close down. So I have another book also in there that I feel I need to at least briefly explain because it's a little bit off the wall there. And that is my book from 2008 called All the Girls in Nylons and Garter Belts. And what my technician is flipping out here. That's a little bit wild. Well, you know, nylon stockings, they're socks, really. They're just socks. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, you know, for me, it became sort of a kind of something really interesting to have on a woman. Never interested in wearing them myself or seeing them on guys, never. But I just always have liked to see them on the female form. And this goes back actually to my, I guess, to my childhood. I think what I did is I was observing mom or maybe someone else, you know, dressing and, you know, attaching those the garters to the tops of the stockings and walking around like that and stuff like that. And then when I started dating in that era of the early 60s, I was still a child in the 1950s, but in the early to mid 60s, girls all wore nylon stockings and garter belts. I mean, without exception, unless it was like, you know, 1 in 10 or something that wouldn't. For formal occasions, they always would. Going on dates, they always would. And, you know, it was just something about the arriving at an intimacy with a girl when she lets you touch her leg and when she lets you touch above. Well, I have to tell the truth. The top of the stockings where the little garters were and everything like that. That was a very, very intimate moment. That's sort of like, whoa, okay, it doesn't get much better than this. Well, of course it got better than that. But but as an in-between kind of stop, you know, I mean, there should have been a base named after it. There's first base for kissing and second base for whatever. Maybe this would have been where shortstop comes in or something like that. Or maybe it's right field. But whatever it is, that was an important place for guys back there. God, I remember one of the greatest days of my whole life. I was in the ROTC in my first high school. I spent my freshman and sophomore year at Blackford High School in West San Jose, and I spent my junior and senior year in Santa Clara High School, which was in downtown Santa Clara, and that was a completely different animal. But anyway, it was still at Blackford, and I was in ROTC, and there was a football game. I'm almost sure this was the fall of 1962, because that would have been the right year. Fall of 1962. Now, I was a staff sergeant, and there was a lieutenant, and there were a couple other guys, and we were supposed to be the, you know, at the football game. We were in charge, you know, watching it and, I guess, helping out if there were any problems of any kind. And at one point, you know, they had these steep stands going up, you know, these stands, which are basically stairs, open in front, you know, so... Well, I'll explain that in a minute. So anyway, so the lieutenant comes over and he says, August, somebody dropped their purse, you know, in the stands. It's about halfway in the stands. Could you go get it? So, okay, so wandered into the underside of the grandstand. And at one point I looked up and it was mostly females, mostly women and girls. And it was like, I could see all of their legs as they were sitting there. And I mean, all of them were wearing the stockings, you know, with the dark tops with the clip-on thing there, the garter belt and stuff. And usually heels and stuff like that. And it was just entrancing. It was just entrancing to see maybe 100 females at one time showing their, you know, this intimate lingerie. I call it intimate lingerie because you don't get to see, guys would not, women would not show it, and guys would not see it on a day-by-day basis. It was just covered with the dress that went down to the knee or below the knee, you know, definitely below the knee, maybe mid-ankle in those days. And so this was something that was like uncharted territory. Of course, really, I mean, in real life, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. Of course, women use that term for something of the male package also, but just thinking of it in terms of the stockings. Yeah, this was bizarre. This was amazing. So anyway, and then in just a second, I said, I heard a voice. It says, August, what are you doing down there? I said, oh, yeah, I found the purse. Okay, and then I came out with the purse and stuff, you know. And but that was a wild experience. You know, when has anybody on this planet, when has any guys on this planet seen, you know, like maybe 75 women and girls all dressed in, you know, that way? So it was kind of an inspiration. So anyway, so this book has sexy memories of the past and a turn on for the future. Well, I don't know if they'll ever come back. You know, things come back, right? Things come back. Maybe it'll come back at some future time. Maybe the hems have to go down for that to happen, you know. But, yeah, you know, these were very popular when nylons, as they were called, you know, came out in the very late 1930s. Women were going crazy over them. See, it wasn't a guy thing. It was a woman. Women wanted to do this. They wanted their legs to look nice and smooth, maybe a little darker or whatever. And, you know, during World War II, evidently, they didn't make nylon anymore at those factories that were making stockings. And so it was very hard to get, you know, to get nylons. But, and I've seen cartoons about that and stuff like that. Yeah, and then about 66, 67, just as I was really getting, you know, as my life was really rolling in terms of dating and girls and stuff like that, then they came out with this goddamn pantyhose thing. And, of course, the pantyhose were a completely different principle. And, you know, there was no top of the stocking, you know. And gosh, I had all kinds of problems with that. You know, that was no longer fun. You know, what is the fun of sitting in the back row of the Coronet Theater or the Studio Theater or the Paramount Theater, you know, in San Jose, and with a girl, and of course you want to be in the back row, and kissing her and feeling around up there, because all you're going to get to is the top of the pantyhose, you know, and that's kind of, I don't know, I don't think it did anything for the girl either. I mean, most women end up with infections and stuff from being pressed up against the, you know, in the crotch from the pantyhose. Yeah, the pantyhose were a pain in the ass. They were a royal pain. You, what's that? You want to jump in? Does she want to jump in? Wait, I think I got to unmute you. Wait, I got to unmute you, and I'll go out off here. You unmuted yourself? You sure? Okay. Okay.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Everybody can hear you.
Oh, well, all right. Well, pantyhose, see, it's a little before my time here, and I have no memory of that garter stuff except for stuff kicking around in my mother's drawers. I don't remember her ever wearing stuff like that, but pantyhose itched, and I wore them as little as possible, and I refused to wear them anymore. I just refused. So, but I don't. The thing about the infections, I don't know what Ed was getting at with that. They come with instructions to, no, I guess that's something else. But you wear underwear under them. It's just, they're just a real pain. And I can't see anything attractive about them. And we need to find another subject to talk about, because pantyhose were like the last ditch. I guess the feminists, they started burning their bras in that age, too. And you can't burn nylons. You can only melt them. So, yeah, we did some of that, too. Well, of course, they run all the time. They were designed to run. I heard stories from before the war, World War II, that nylons used to last a really long time. Nylons are really tough material. And just like light bulbs, they started designing obsolescence into them. So you'd get one, maybe two wears out of them, and they would rip, and you'd have to spend big bucks on a new set. And so, you know, it's just totally totally rigged game, and they put themselves out of business. I don't know anybody who wears pantyhose anymore. So certainly I didn't raise my daughter to wear pantyhose, I'll tell you that. So I'll give the floor back to Ed, but we need to find something else to talk about besides ladies' undergarments. That is nuts. You're going to drive away half your audience. That's just my opinion. Okay. I'm out of here.
Well, yeah, and I, gosh knows, guys would have different opinions also. Some guys just think of one thing, and it's definitely not a woman's stockings, you know, when they think of sexuality and stuff. So, which leaves us where, you know, we've just burned through another little bit here. What, see, what does it say here? 12:50, is that right? 12:55 p.m.? So we got an hour down and a half hour to go. Well, you know what? I'm going to go to do something totally different now. Something that I did, I think, on Tuesday, and it was a good thing. Oh, I'm looking on my Google Docs, and I have all these books. Oh, my goodness. Do you know, it's helped me a little bit to have my 90-minute show. Since I started talking about my books on my 90-minute show, my sales have gone up about 300%. At both Amazon and Lulu. So really, if you it was three times nothing or almost nothing. They were very, very low. I don't want to make it sound like I'm, you know, making a wheelbarrow full of money doing this. But anyway, but it's definitely helping. And I want to be known for my books to some extent. You know, actually, I'm probably one of the more prolific authors of Arizona and the Southwest. I don't know what kind of competition I've got, but I've got a lot of books and a lot of short stories. Sometimes, you know, I'm experimenting. I don't know what might be fun to do. You know, I was thinking I could even read one of my short stories on here, you know, at some point. Let me see if I can find something. The Eyes of the Beast and Other Stories by Ed August. Okay, so this is one of my unpublished books of short stories. But here are the tape. Here's the table of contents on this one. The Ladder Between Grief and Joy. Invisible Residence, Indeed. Traveling Away and Away in Time. The Banda Aceh Nightmare. Superfly Hemingway's Bad Day. I Was Never Alone in the Dark. Santa Clara, Santa Claus. Dangerous Night on Lake Mead Drive. Heads Up. The Large and the Small of It. Any Port in a Storm. Visit to a Large Planet. Describe Your Dismal Garnets. G-A-R-N-E-T-S. I got to refresh myself on that one. The Sacred Red Stone of Ganesha. And The Eyes of the Beast. So there's like, in this perspective short story book, which has not seen the light of day, there are 15 short stories in it. So, doggone it, you know, I could do 4 books like that, maybe 5 books like that with my short stories. And it just bothers me. Okay, here's another one. Here's a book called Horror Tales. This is another one that I have not put out there. Books That Horrified My Young Life, Dustin and Jason, Family Beach Story. Yep, a family beach story turned out to be a horror tale. Wild, Wild Nature, Lilith, the Demon Goddess, The Facts That Led to a Bottomless Pit, The Evil Story That Ends in a Luminous Veil, Explaining Odd Behavior through the Ages, Women and Children First, The Golden Touch versus the Mean Arizona Landlady, Two Moonlit Alleyways, The Yoga Murders, Gullies, Streams, and a Palm Reading for God. Gully Streams and a Palm Reading for God. That sounds like I must have drunk a lot of coffee that night. The Creature at Creek and Pima. The Need for Blood Sport. Snakes and Kids. Mongol Hordes and Latvian Maidens. And Was Vlad a Good Lad? But anyway, so that's another, you know, almost 18 tales in horror tales. So, okay, I'm not going to afflict any of these on you right now, but it's nice to know that they're there. Here's one called Contacting Alien Minds. That's right. This is a short story book that I have not published. There may be some overlap here. Let me see if there's any overlap. These are the different short stories. communication with distant intelligences, temptacles, that's T-E-M-T, like tentacles, but temptacles, the Black Candle, a 1970 sci-fi tale, three important facial anomalies, aliens have my purple cabbage, that's a weird one, the Emerald of Mars, Dr. Klezmer's device, the Magic Piper, thank you, the ammonite was delicious, the green sunset, traveling away and away in time, the walls of Uruk, and a thought in the mind of God. So that's only about 12 in that thing there. But so anyway, yeah, and that includes the Emerald of Mars. The Emerald of Mars was something that originally came out in 1965 when I was about 15 or 16 years old. And we took this one up to the Worldcon. The World Convention of Science Fiction was that year in Oakland, California. So we had this magazine ready. And so I had my short story in it, The Emerald of Mars. And The Emerald of Mars disappeared for many, many years, many, many years. And then in something after 2000, a guy in Finland found a copy of my Emerald of the Odd War. And he was very taken with my story. And he wrote... I think it was called ERB. ERB was that's the letters ERB, was named after Edgar Rice Burroughs, who wrote the series of space adventures starring John Carter, including, John Carter of Mars. So this is called The Emerald of Mars. So he said, hey, here's a story. So they reprinted it, and it was, let's see, that would have been 65, 40 years after I wrote it. So, yeah, so another 10 or 12 years have gone by. So, the story was never completed, fully. So I've always thought I'm going to sit down and finish this story. But, you know, I'm just not in that frame of mind of John Carter of Mars right now. I've forgotten so many of the characters. So I never did finish that story. But so this one was, this particular book was definitely all about contact, terrestrial, distant intelligences, and monsters coming to Earth and stuff like that. There's another one called Mama's Flash Frozen Bargain Burgers, and that's another book of short stories. But this, I'm not going to read you the titles on this because I don't want to bore you. I really don't want to bore you. But I really should be publishing some of these soon because it's silly to have so much stuff that I have not published. California and the Cosmos, Traveler's Tales, that's about 150 pages there. Wow, so much stuff. I'm just looking here. The Walls of Uruk, Teresa in Pakistan, Gaze at the Crystal, Spirit Worlds, Zooming in on Nature. There's like so many titles. So for every 30 titles that you see on Lulu.com or on Kindle at Amazon with my name on them, there's probably two or three that have not been published yet that are just waiting to go, including Secrets of the Four Elements, which is going to probably be coming out in an ebook format soon because I have the manuscript ready for it. I was working over it. Secrets of the Four Elements, if you're into that, has many quotations and much very important information from past masters of the art and others going back to ancient Alexandria. And here's another one. This one I really want to publish. Zooming in on Human Nature, Vices and Virtues with Hundreds of Astrological Aphorisms by Ed August, dedicated to Lisa Williams, who is a medium who I've met several times and corresponded with, and she did readings for me and for my friends. But anyway, this book is all about aspects. Like, for example, in this alphabetized, abnormal thinking, abundance, abundantly helpful, accepts authority, accident prone, accurate, achiever, active with negative results, activist, adult son, cranky and greedy, adventurer, these are just the A's, of course, adventurous, affectionate family upbringing, aggressiveness by object, aggressive woman, agitated, a good wife or partner, a lazy taker, alcoholism, aloof ambassador, ambidexterity, ambiguous sexuality, ambition, amorality, an erratic partner, an amazing life, outside the box, anger management needed, angry partner, angry reactions, anger warlike, animals and pets, anorexia or self-emaciation, an otherworldly character. Do you see where I'm going with this? Anthropology, apathetic, appeaser, architecture. So all of these things are connected with planets, architecture. Moon, in conjunction or good aspect with Pluto, helps develop an interest in fundamental systems of architecture. For example, Le Corbusier, who had a trine, and Frank Lloyd Wright, who had the conjunction. Wright also had Moon trine Venus, which makes a person wish for pleasing and harmonious surroundings, including architecture. Moon is the family, the women and children in particular. Architecture fundamentally exists on the family unit basis. Thus, intense Pluto harmonies help erect architecture, while Moon Saturn in hard aspect may make a person forsake a beautiful home entirely. That's right, with Moon Saturn in hard aspect, like a conjunction, a person can live in a cave or a little studio. I have a wide conjunction of Moon and Saturn. Thankfully, it is wide, but it has led me to live in some pretty unaesthetic situations, you know, rooms. I don't like to live in a room. I'd like somebody to have like a four-bedroom house or something where I can put some of my stuff, you know. I like that. Arrogant. Okay, so what makes a person arrogant? What makes a person have an art career? Artistic inclinations, art, design, and fine cuisine. All of these are under the letter A. So what I seem to have here, I started with just one, and I added on and added on. I kept thinking of different, vices and virtues, different things that people can do. Faith, hope, charity, and love. Chastity, temperance, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility. As opposed to the seven deadly sins, wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. So these are just variations. All these terms are just variations on the virtues and the vices. And I look at them all astrologically. I don't know whether to call this vices and virtues or to call it zooming in on human nature, vices and virtues. I'll probably just call it vices and virtues with hundreds of astrologic aphorisms. So this is one of my longer books. I think I pushed this button. I can find word count. What's the word count? Oh, it's only 42,322 words. So it's not a huge book, but it's definitely as long as a modest novel. But, there's a lot of entries, probably 300 or 400 entries in here of different human characteristics and human psychology and human actions, habits, things like that. Hey, I think that we are just on the verge of having another few little adverts for us. And the biggest advert I want to make is for you to tune in tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific time, when I'm going to be, and 11 o'clock Eastern time, when I'm going to be on the air with my half-hour show, Ed August Psychic Astrologer, and that will be on Blog Talk Radio. Also, if you go to my www.edaugusts.com, not Ed August Books, but just edaugusts.com, and go to the radio listen page, then you'll see more material about that and other episodes that you can listen to that are in the archive. All righty, now let's hear from these great guys at Freedomizer.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Tune in to the Mad Scientist Expo Show every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, where we discuss the science and the news today, take a closer look, and expose where fraud is being committed for various agendas, from money to politics to downright pure evil and malice. Of course we trust science. It's scientists we don't trust. Tune in and join the conversation on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi guys, it's me, your host, Red Gypsy, reminding you to come journey into freedom with me every Monday night at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. This is going to be a show that's going to cover everything from metaphysics to holistics to herbs to gardening to barefooting to grounding and so much more. Dare to be different, dare to be you, and dare to learn to love yourself unconditionally. Namaste.
Solutions to delusion. How do you do this? Well, join me every Friday night on the Delusion Solution radio show from 6 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 to 12 midnight Eastern Time right here on the Freedomizer Network, where we will be discussing and discerning the times by making sense of current events
and
bringing to light much-needed topics. Our calling number is 347-324-3704. Listen in. Watching with your ears and listen with your eyes. I'm your host, Tara Dawn, and I'll see you there.
Sunday, 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 starting at 7:30 p.m. Expand your mind, develop your consciousness. Great conversation, great advice, and great fun. Counterculture-wise radio, only on FreedomizerRadio.com. We're on to you. Are you on to yourself?
Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time, to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, and check out barefootislegal.org.
Body and Soul Awareness is a radio show geared towards anyone ready to reconnect with their true selves and get back into balance. Spend 90 minutes with us, Stephanie and Oksana, business owners and friends who are eager to discuss the importance of taking responsibility of your own well-being. We are two ladies on a mission to be the best possible version of ourselves while helping others to do the same. We will share our own life experiences and practical knowledge of how to take responsibility of your own well-being by implementing lasting lifestyle changes.
Yes, there are lots of toxins out there. Yes, there are lots of bad things going on in the world, and even people with bad intentions. But no, we are not here to talk about that. We're here to help you to discover positive lifestyle changes to help you navigate through ingeniously designed chaos. Join us and our guest speakers while we discuss topics like natural living, nutrition, skincare, healing arts, consciousness, meditation, self-awareness, spirituality, herbalism, body energy, movement, and more.
Join us live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey, we're back on. Yeah, that is, you know, there's about, 15 different hosts here, so we try to play music that is appropriate, ads that will ignite your interest in some of the other, radio hosts that are here. So I went over to a place that I look for news sometimes, which is the Drudge Report. It says, thanks a billion, Drudge Report pops to number 2 media traffic. It passes Google News, CNN, Fox, Washington Post, Huffington Report, and more. So a lot of people look at Drudge, I guess because it updates about 20 times a day, but it's full of clickables. There's like about 100 clickables that go to different websites that carry some of the news of the day. So I have my tarot cards here, and I wanted to look at this story. Trump, MSNBC, Mika was, quote, bleeding, unquote. Well, evidently, this was a Trump joke that he tweeted. I don't have the exact one right in front of me. I mean, the exact tweet in front of me. But it was something about they wanted to go, Mika and her co-host wanted to go to his Christmas ball or New Year's Eve thing or whatever it was, but couldn't because Mika was still bleeding from facelift that she had had. And all they have here is MSNBC's Mika was bleeding, which kind of refers back to a former joke that he did during the campaign a year and a half ago or a year ago. Boy, she doesn't look too happy in this thing. I'm just looking at her for signs of, well, of course, yeah, she's had some facelift work. Yeah, definitely. She's got that smooth cheeks. Look at that. And whatever, you know. But anyway, I think Trump is out of his mind with these tweets. He's trying to be funny. I know he doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. But, you know, he doesn't get very much sleep. I've heard that Donald Trump gets like 4 hours of sleep every night. And when you add the 4 hours of sleep together with the cheeseburgers and stuff that he likes to eat, I just don't know if he's he looks like he might have picked up a few pounds lately, doesn't he? So I just want to see, is this tweet or any future tweet here that he makes, is this going to be, what effect is this going to have on his popularity? I'm going to cut the cards near the top, and we'll see what comes in there. Well, the popularity is the man, the female, it's the two of cups. The male and the female are exchanging cups. It's almost like a marriage. It's actually very positive. The second card is the sun, and the sun shows, again, happiness. And, you know, it's like nothing much is going to sway people. And then justice, the justice card comes. What does that mean? That means that justice will arrive and judge him, or does that mean that he has justice on his side? I'll take the fourth card. The fourth card is the Nine of Cups. That's a kind of a fat guy sitting in a chair, smiling wall to wall, smiling, enjoying himself. He's got a row of golden cups behind him. It just seems that this interpretation is that he's very popular. He's got a good thing going right now. Maybe he's got justice. Oh, he's got justice on his side because he picked Gorsuch as the missing Supreme Court judge. And it's very possible that Justice Douglas might resign from the court. That's either going to happen this year or next year, I guess. Kennedy. Was it Kennedy? Okay, Justice Kennedy. Justice Kennedy, I guess. Might, you know, he's 81 or something. So, and he's not telling. He's a Democrat. But if he goes, then definitely Trump has justice on his side because he's going to have a majority of two Republican justices on the Supreme Court. So God knows what they're going to do with that. If they're going to go after Roe versus Wade, or, you know, what would they do with extra justices on the court? Dare I ask, Suzanne? Wait for cases to come to them. Yeah, that's true. So let's see if there's anything else here on Drudge. There's the definite Trump thing. Well, is Mika going to be okay? She looks like she needs another facelift. Oh, my God. It's a woman with a bandage around her head. It's the Two of Swords. So that means that she's probably going to go in for more. Yes, it is. Well, no, I don't see any bleeding or anything. But, you know, she doesn't look very happy. There's she has two crossed swords and in her. Oh, she's going to. It'll be there. It's in my deck of cards. It's not going anywhere. She wanted
that's
the photo.
An amazing card. It's a woman with holding swords in a cross position, but she's got the bandage around her head. And silly tweet was about her bleeding from the face.
Well, and you could definitely bleed from the face with two swords crossed in front of it,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that seems
yeah.
to signify.
Well, Wikimedia has pictures of every card in the tarot deck, and you can look this up. I don't know what suit that is. It's two of something.
Well, it's the two of swords. That's
two
why there's swords
so
on there.
Yeah. You can pull up the two of swords and get a look at this card. So I guess Trump is going to survive this faster than she is.
Well, so far, anything he said has just been, you know, he has a whole bunch of people that applaud, and they're certainly not going to be upset about it. And he's making fun of her. Well, he's making fun of her because she's been very nasty about him for years, you know. He's like a real anti-Trump hater.
Yep. He's probably a counterpuncher.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, I don't want
to
get political. Yeah, I don't want to get political. I'm sure she's a very nice person, and I'm sure that they all have good reasons, you know, and stuff. And he does look like a big blathering fool sometimes, you know, and people take shots at him.
You think so?
Whoops, I don't mean that the way it sounds. I didn't mean people take shots at him that way. But they sure do on these talk shows and on in Central Park, you know, that they play, which I guess is over now. So let's see. We've got Maxine Waters in here talking about health reform. Who should I ask questions about? Merkel takes aim at Trump. Okay, who's going to end up on top here? Is it going to be Merkel, or is it with the EU, or representing the EU, or is she going to go down in flames?
Well, tell people what the story is.
Not much story here. It just says Merkel takes aim at Trump ahead of the stormy G20. So there's going to be the G20 conference coming up.
Yeah, well, I read part of that article. She's gonna lean on him, take him aside and lean on him to get back into the Paris Accord and all that stuff and stop this isolationism and whatever. That's what the article's about. And he stated his case, and he stated it really well in his speech, and it's not in America's interest. We want to clean up our own water and own air and not keep paying countries overseas to keep polluting their countries.
Let's see. For Merkel, we're going to go halfway down here. I'm going to see what happened. Oh, sadness. There's some sadness here. The Five of Cups, where there's two cups still standing, but three cups have been turned over. There's like losses. There's losses rather than gains. You know, people are leaving the EU. I mean, Britain, Great Britain, went to Brexit, and it looks like somebody else might leave also, see? It's just kind of like unhappiness. Unhappiness.
What's the name of that card so people can look it up?
That's the Five of Cups. Yeah, okay. And then we've got the world. The world. The world is watching. Well, big factors, other countries that are involved beyond Germany and the United States. And the third card is the Nine of Wands. That means worry and fretting and worried about other people and worried about sneak attacks and all kinds of other things. That's followed by the Seven of Wands, which is where a person is trying to hold off attacks from others. The Queen of Swords.
So this is all cards.
This is all
Merkel,
about
huh?
Yeah. This is all about Merkel, and the Queen of Swords is a very severe woman with a lot of rules.
Huh?
But the Queen of Wands, she seems to have a split personality. To many Germans, she seems like the Queen of Wands, who's efficient and active and has only good things in mind. But then there's this other side of her that is very negative and cruel, almost. The Queen of Swords. And the culmination of the cards is the Nine of Swords. This is where there's nine swords hanging on the wall. We got an echo. Why do we have an echo? Let me see why we have an echo. Oh, she's on too. Here, let me take care of that. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, I had to get rid of that echo. Sorry, folks. So the Nine of Swords are hanging on the wall, and a woman, looks like a woman, is sitting up in bed with her face in her hands. I think from this, it says that she's not going to have her way in Europe much longer. And I think the EU will change, or certain countries are going to bail out from the EU, or it's just not proving to be, you know, a workable idea. This huge bureaucracy, you know, covering all of Europe like a blanket. And, you know, they were telling British fishermen not that you can't fish in their own waters because they were dividing up the fish that were offshore England among the other countries in the European Union, you know. And also, you can't serve ketchup in a certain kind of ketchup jar. It has to be a certain kind that's approved by Brussels, you know. It's just wacky. I really think that anybody that leaves the EU is probably going to be happy for doing it. So where does that put us here? 1:24. It's 1:24 local time. If there's any other things here I can pick with some tarot cards, I will. But let me see. Liberal impeachment. Let's see. Brother kidnaps sister to prevent wedding. Well, that's different, huh? Kidnapping someone to prevent a wedding. Wonder what do they have something going? What's going on there? That's crazy. Let's see. New travel ban to take effect tonight. Okay, the travel ban, which is leaving out the residents of six countries. such as Sudan and Libya and Syria and Iran and probably one or two other small countries. Like, oh, yeah, Sudan. Yeah, I mentioned Sudan. Anyway, how is that going to work out? Cutting the card. Travel ban. The sun. Oh, man. I mean, I'm sorry. I would like to come up with something really heavy and exciting and say the travel ban is going to crash in flames or something. But actually, I just turned up the sun, and there's the Two of Cups again. And here's the Four of Pentacles. The Four of Pentacles meaning that it'll be held on to. It'll be, you know, accepted and whatever. So there we go. The Ace of Swords. Oh, man. Some days the tarot cards work better than others. Or maybe I'm just not that focused on the tarot. Hey, in just a couple minutes here, you know, if any of you want to get some astrology done, one of my specialties is looking at you or someone in your life in relationship to wherever they are, their cities, their state that they're in, or even the country that they're in. I have a book here called Horoscopes of the Western Hemisphere by Mark Green Penfield. And Mark Penfield has written quite a book here. He's researched hundreds of cities in all 50 states and then also the Central and Southern South American countries for people who want to travel. And this uses basically an incorporation or founding chart. Phoenix, Arizona, October 20th, 1870. And it shows, it looks like it's a hot place, according to this. And that's totally different than, like, let's say, the Tucson chart, which is August 20th, 1775. Wow. So Tucson is 95 years older than Phoenix. I believe it because Tucson is at more than 1,000-foot higher altitude. So it's actually possible for someone to spend the summer in Tucson, you know, especially if they live in a cave or something. But you just could not live in Phoenix in the summertime, not until they invented air conditioning. So anyway, these are different charts. And what I would do with these for you is I would compare the city with your chart. And you tell me what cities you want me to look at. You know, I can definitely do that. I can either find a good place or a bad place, or I can give you some advice on travel. There are several people that I've sent from one part of the country packing to the other part of the country where then immediately they got the job or they immediately got the boyfriend, and then I got to hear about it afterwards. In fact, one of them wanted me to perform the marriage ceremony, but no, I would have to go to, like, Washington State. I'm not good on marriage ceremonies, even though I am a certified minister with United I forget the name. I forgot the name of my church. I have the card in my wallet, but I haven't. United, Unified, something like that. I don't know. So anyway, you know, if you want to know why your brother is not doing so well in Nashville, but your sister is doing good in Memphis, you know, that can be told. Are you familiar with how many actors and actresses that were New York stage celebs don't do well if they move to Hollywood, right? This was done over a 50-60 year period. People would move from Hollywood, where they were very famous, to New York. Maybe they didn't take hold of New York City. They didn't, you know, was it Baker, that lady Baker, who the black lady, who ended up going to Paris. And she had a huge triumph in Paris because her chart was just luminous when you compare it with Paris, France. And it was not so good in New York. You know what? We got to wrap up the show. We're just at about that point. So thank you so much for looking in. You never know what you're going to get here. It was a little bit heavy on astrology today, but I love it. And look for me tonight. And I am followed now by my friend here at Mad Scientists Exposed. And thanks for looking in.